Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We're joined now by Golden Tate. He's hosting his third annual Golden Blue 23 Tate Dinner Celebration tonight at Pope John Paul II. Tate will MC. He's going to be joined by keynote speaker Mark Mariani. And tomorrow morning, Saturday, June 9th, Golden Tate will be hosting a free skills camp for rising 3rd to 8th grade boys and girls. Registration will begin at 8:30 a.m. at the Jim Carroll Athletic Complex over at Pope John Paul II, and the clinic will dismiss at noon. Over the past 3 years, by the way, Golden Tate has raised more than $100,000 for Pope John Paul II, and he's on the line with us right now. Golden, thanks for taking the time to join us. I know it's a busy couple days for you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm glad to be able to get on.
You know, I had a chance to cover you in high school, and all these years later, you're still the name that's synonymous with Pope John Paul II. I feel like you were around right around the start of the school, and you're still that big name that people associate with that school. Why is it important for you to get back to Pope John Paul II and give back to them?
You know, Pope John Paul II taught me a lot of things. Obviously, the one that sticks out the most is athletically. You know, I'm still holding on strong, I think, at least in the NFL. But just character, taught me character and how to be a man. I had some incredible leaders that taught me some things, some key things in school that I still hold on to till today. Obviously, my Christianity has been very, very high, although I'm not a Catholic. You know, been a believer since yay big, and Pope John Paul definitely helped me strengthen my faith. So with that being said, just I feel like I owe it to that school to give back any way I possibly can to help that school, you know, be better than Father Ryan every year, pretty much.
that's the goal for sure.
That's a good mission.
Yeah.
Wondering, you came into the league in 2010. Offenses have evolved quite a bit during your career. And in Nashville, we talk about this constantly because, you know, a lot of teams have one trouble spot. And many people would say for the Lions, it's been running back. In Nashville, for the Titans, it's been wide receiver. We got a new system coming in with the Titans that we're anxious to see. What in your eyes is the state of route running in the National Football League right now, and how has it evolved or devolved since you came into the league?
That's a really good question, and I haven't done enough studying on the Titans or, you know, really that specific question. But I will say this: playing wide receiver is pretty dang tough because, you know, especially coming out of college, a lot of guys come from these spread offenses where the system just completely different once you get into the NFL. So the learning curve alone is going to be tough. Now, athletically, you know, usually guys are, you know, right there, they can play. I mean, if you're drafted, you can definitely play. You can definitely have a team. But, you know, one thing I always say is, like, we aren't behind a, you know, computer where we can have, you know, once the eye in the sky catches whatever you've done, you can't go back and delete it. So what I'm saying is you have to act quickly, think quickly, prepare quickly, because the camera's going to catch everything. And a lot of guys just make that one split second bad decision that can, you know, can cause interception or cause them to slip in a route or, you know, not get the correct release. And so a lot goes into being a dominant and efficient wide receiver, and it's hard to do. Along with just staying healthy. I mean, you know, receivers usually aren't, you know, thick guys for the most part. You know, pretty skinny a lot of times, and taking a hit from a linebacker can be bone crushing sometimes. So, I mean, it takes a lot to be a really good receiver. And for me, it took me 3 years to kind of figure it out.
You know, you're a guy that it's always been, your size has been used as a detriment against you. You were the Biletnikoff Award winner at Notre Dame, top wide receiver in college football in 2009, but you're drafted in the second round. You play with a quarterback in Seattle the knock on him has also been his size. He's too small. He's too short. He can't get the job done. Have you ever found that your size, you talked about a lot of receivers being taller and lanky and how that can take a pounding on the body. Have you ever found a situation where your size is actually a benefit to you and your game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think what makes me durable and why I've been able to play this game for so long is not, you know, any measurables, not my size. I think it's just kind of deep down my heart and my mentality. Still to this day, I step on the field and I think I'm the baddest man on the field, no matter who I'm going against or what the situation is, whatever it is. And it's kind of, for me, it's just been a mentality. But, you know, my entire life I heard he's too small. You know, once I left high school, he's too small to be a receiver. People question my hands, but I've also led the league and with catch rate a couple times throughout my career. He can't shake defenders, but then I lead the league in yards after catch. So, I mean, I've been hearing it my entire life, and that's what kind of this world has become, is that telling you what you can't do. And I just refuse to accept that, and really anything I do. So, but back to your question, like, I think my smaller stature helps me. I feel like I can outquick guys. They don't have as much surface to tackle, and once I get the ball in my hands, you know, you've probably heard it before, I try to turn into a running back.
What's been the biggest change with Matt Patricia coming in and coaching you there in Detroit that you've seen so far? I know it's very early, but if you had to think about one significant change with this new coaching staff, what is it?
You know, I like exactly what you said. I think it's a little bit too early to kind of, you know, compare right now. We'll see once camp gets here and once we're really rolling. But right now, you know, we're all just trying to learn everything. I will say this, Coach Patricia is very thorough and everything, and he's literally coaching the game as if this is our first day of learning the game of football ever, which is good because, you know, we're learning the basics. There's so many times you watch NFL games and the game is lost on just stupid mistakes, either, you know, in the coaching or the players, and that one play can decide a game. And, you know, you can't win. You know, you got to win. You got to win in this league, but you got to keep from losing. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're covering all the basics, the fundamentals of playing the game of football, from catching, tackling, running, blocking, whatever it may be. And so that's what I've noticed.
My looking a little bit into what the Lions have done so far, and I know you're a highly Belichick-influenced franchise, as the Titans are now with Mike Vrabel, I've noticed the Titans running more conditioning stuff, and I've heard that you guys are running more conditioning stuff. How much more of an emphasis inside of OTA practices and minicamp and stuff has that been?
We do a little bit of conditioning, and it's something that I'm not used to, but I'm getting used to. But obviously, we all hate it at the time, but you know, we're banking that conditioning, because there's gonna be a time where it's fourth quarter and we're tired. We're gonna have to dig deep and to find that extra 10%, 20%, whatever we need to get us through this game. And that's what, you know, our organization and like you said, the Titans organization are trying to teach you. A lot of these mistakes that players making late in the games is just because of lack of mental focus, and that lack of mental focus is usually because of physical tiredness. And so if you can continue to play strong and feel good, the chance of you making one of those stupid mental mistakes that you wouldn't make in the first quarter go way down, I think.
Detroit Lions wide receiver Golden Tate, our guest on the Midday 180. Golden, you played a lot of sports growing up. You're a really good baseball player, had a real future in that sport as well. I'm curious, you know, you're coaching a skills camp tomorrow, leading that with the 3rd through 8th graders. How much did playing those multiple sports help you? Because more and more now, you see kids picking a sport at 7, 8, 9 years old and feeling like they have to stick with that throughout. How much did playing so many sports help you in your career now as a wide receiver for the Lions?
Well, I think that's just how I grew up. I wanted to play any sport I saw on TV. I would go outside and try to mimic what they were doing and play. And that's just kind of how I was built. And it was just kind of a different time. But I understand, our young athletes focusing on one sport because they're trying to master that one craft. But also, I also think it's good to diversify yourself in playing multiple sports. Maybe you have another passion for another sport. And for me, playing baseball was a direct correlation to football for me as far as judging the ball and attacking the ball. So for me, it went hand in hand. And, just really, really any type of sport that there was out there, I wanted to play. That's just how I was built. The three main ones I played was baseball, football, and basketball. I think hand-eye coordination is something that you need in most of all these sports. And the more you can do, the better off I think you are. And even aside from the athletic part, the more knowledge you have on these different sports mean the more you can talk about them, which means the more connections you make with people, right now or later in life.
Golden Tate has been our guest. He's hosting his third annual Golden Blue number 23 Tate Dinner Celebration tonight at Pope John Paul II. Tate will MC. He's going to be joined by keynote speaker Mark Mariani. Tomorrow morning, that's Saturday, June 9th, Golden will host a free skills camp for rising 3rd through 8th grade boys and girls. Registration will begin at 8:30 a.m. at the Jim Carroll Athletic Complex. Golden, very kind of you to join us. I know it's a very busy weekend for you. Best of luck with this event and have fun back in your hometown.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks.
That's
good luck.
Golden Tate of the Detroit Lions. One of the you put a list together, Paul, of some of the best athletes all around from Nashville, and Golden Tate is certainly right up there.